AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Haiti, where protesters chant for freedom in the streets near Port-au-Prince, shining a spotlight on gang violence. 5 days after an American nurse, Alex Dorsonville, and her young daughter were reportedly kidnapped at a nonprofit clinic. Correspondent Jared Hill.
The State Department wouldn't give any information on the desperate search. Dorsonville went missing the same day the U.S. advised Americans to avoid travel to Haiti. The State Department even ordering non-emergency personnel to leave the country, citing widespread kidnappings.
Police say a potential mass shooting was averted at a Jewish school in Memphis. Assistant Chief Don Crow says the gunman couldn't get inside.
Thankfully, that school had a great safety procedure and process in place and avoided anyone being harmed or injured at that scene.
Officials say the suspect, who is Jewish and attended the school himself, fired shots outside, then ran away. Police found him later, fired their own shots, leaving him in critical condition. Police in North Carolina say a man who drove his car into a group of migrant workers at a Walmart parking lot in Lincolnton has turned himself in. Daniel Gonzalez has been charged with a felony hit and run. CBS Charlotte reporter Lowell Rose.
Video released by police shows a black SUV driving into the parking lot. It turns into a space and then drives over a curb, hitting six people.
His family claims Gonzalez accidentally hit the gas pedal while he was trying to park, then panicked and drove away. All of the victims were treated and released from a local hospital. Yet another round of criminal charges could be on the way for former President Trump. Correspondent Robert Costa.
The special counsel is investigating an alleged scheme to overturn the 2020 election and has told Trump he's a target in that investigation. And in Atlanta, barricades already being installed at Fulton County Courthouse, where a grand jury is set to consider even more charges against Trump, this time over his alleged role in pressuring Georgia election officials.
U.S. women's national team plays to a scoreless draw with Portugal, keeping the U.S. quest for a third straight World Soccer Cup title alive. And looking for the very best hospital? That'll depend on what you're treating. U.S. News and World Report managing editor Ben Harder says comparing notes doesn't always work.
We rank hospitals in 15 different specialties and then more than 20 different procedures and conditions. So depending on what the patient's need is, the right hospital may be different than the right hospital for their neighbor.
U.S. News new rankings put the Cleveland Clinic on top for cardiology, NYU Langone tops for neurology and neurosurgery. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 85% water, right?
85% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the Leading Bargain liquid detergent.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware. If you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy today with highs around 84. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 61. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, high of 85. Upper 80s Thursday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms, turning cooler Friday with highs in the mid 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 55.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with our engineer and producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, the fantastic and talented Mr. Zommers at that. It is a Friday, the last day of July. July 31st.
It is not Friday, though.
Did I say Friday?
I think you did, or else one of us zoned out. Either you zoned out and said Friday, or I zoned out and thought you said Friday.
Here's the deal. I'm a little distracted, and let me tell you why. So I set this all. I'm very excited that Trevor from Bradbury Coffee is going to be here at the bottom of the hour, and I thought, well, here would be a cool little fun idea that I would bring in my pour-over stuff, my Chemex, and I went over to Trevor's shop, Bradbury's, and bought this beautiful Phil and Sebastian coffee roasters coffee last week. And I thought, well, I'll bring in all my stuff and we'll brew up coffee on the air and we'll talk coffee while we're having coffee, right? So during the break, I went to set everything up so that it would be all ready when Trevor got here. And I managed to bring everything except for the specialty filters that go in my Chemex pour over. You can't see it on the stream, but there you go. Beautiful little vessel, glass vessel. But we have no proper filters.
Yeah.
So the question is, do I go get like some bad filters? Or just Mr. Coffee filters, which might kind of work, but not really. We're being joined by, this is making my life so much happier. This is the highlight of my day. Because things are going wrong on here. We forget our coffee filters. But by golly, who has come in the door but our very own colleague, Phil D. How about that? That's fantastic.
How you doing? Greetings from Richland Center.
Phil D, you're here from we just gave away some Milwaukee Brewers tickets, as a matter of fact.
Awesome.
And mentioned for people that like the Brewers in Southwest Wisconsin, they can listen on WRCE, AM 1450, and FM 107.7.
Indeed, they can. We've been carrying the Brewers since their inaugural year in Wisconsin in 1970.
That's fantastic. Yep. And that was where I got my start, literally engineering brewer games back in 1987, RCE.
Listening to Euchre, and at that time it was probably Pat Hughes.
Yeah, the great Pat Hughes, now for the Chicago Cubs.
Going into the Frick Hall of Fame.
I saw that, the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. He's fantastic, though.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome.
I know I tried to kind of model myself when back in college and use some of the same thing, the same cadence that he did. Indeed. Did you ever do that as a broadcaster?
Oh, yes.
People you listen to, not that you're mimicking them, but you kind of use that same cadence.
Sure. As a fledgling broadcaster, who didn't say, get up, get out of here, gone, when they were trying to call a home run? Bob Euchre is such a treasure.
Right?
We are so lucky that we have had him all these years in the state. 89 years old.
Is that incredible?
And he's still sharp. It's just amazing.
He could run for president.
Well, in Wisconsin, he'd win, wouldn't he?
Can you imagine that? Euchre as an independent would clean house. It would be all over.
Start the campaign right here, maybe.
In Platteville, when their very first game that I wasn't supposed to broadcast, somebody got sick and I got thrown into on the air. I was terrible. I was doing play-by-play, and I just completely ripped off Chris Berman. He could go all the way.
Well, it's a sincerest flattery, right? It's a sincerest form of... Whatever it is.
If that broadcast exists, but Clark Gilson still has it over there in Boscobel, it should be destroyed.
We may have some tapes at WRCO of the great Todd Allball back in the...
The flood didn't take care of those.
90s? No. They're probably on reel-to-reel, but I think we have a few.
What brings you to our lovely burg here?
Just visiting. We had some things to deliver, and then we're doing a few errands in Madison while we're here, and... Then we're going to fly back.
I heard you guys are doing a little bit of an auction. Can people get in on this action now? There's an auction for a good cause. Tell them what it is. And then you gave away a baseball today. Talk about that.
Right. It was the Ithaca Championship Baseball signed by the team and the coaches. They won the Division IV state championship. We're giving away a few things all week long on WRCO by bid, of course. Right. We made nearly $500 this morning on the opening day for just a couple of items. And it's the pregame show for the big live auction, which is going to happen Saturday night in Richland Center at the Phoenix Center Bowling Alley. But we're going to be leading up to that live auction with a few things this week, some unique items, including that baseball, some things that maybe, you know, they're priceless, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's for Walk with Grace. Tell folks, if they're not familiar from Southwest Wisconsin, what Walk with Grace is.
So they formed this 20 years ago. It's the 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. Mm-hmm. And they raise money for local cancer patients and their families. And what they do is somebody has a cancer journey they're going through. They apply for funds. Mm-hmm. And the Grace Board, if they're chosen, they give them gas vouchers, because where we're at, they have to go to either Madison or La Crosse. So gas vouchers, they have paid light bills before. They've paid, you know, mortgages. Yeah. They help out. If somebody is down on their luck, they can apply up to three times during their cancer journey. So, and the money, again, stays at home. It's one of the rare organizations that we can say that with.
And I know your wife has been a past co-chairman. She unfortunately had a battle of cancer, but she beat it and is doing well now, as far as I know. And just an inspiration to me, I don't know, to a lot of others. I don't know anybody who isn't touched by cancer in some way. And this is a great local effort. $5 million, I heard, so far in 20 years been raised.
Yeah, they just continue to amaze. You know, last year, I think, you know, of course, after COVID, it was down a little bit. But last year, again, they were back up to about $200,000 raised in the year, which
is incredible.
You know, a town of 5,000, a county of 17,000. Yeah. We're pretty proud of that.
You should be. And for all the things we hear about the world's going to heck in a handbasket, this is one example where it sure isn't. And again, WRCO.com. People can get in on the action there if they want.
Yep, 10 until noon. They're on the WRCO Facebook page. And check out the items.
Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. We'll be right back.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 84. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 65. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 85. A blend of clouds and sun Thursday with daytime highs approaching 88. 84, chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 58 degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMBX has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Cruz. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. On Mad Radio 92.7 WMBX.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's the Todd Allmall Show for a Monday, the 31st of July, 2023. Glad to have Phil Nee in here. What a cool surprise is that? One of our colleagues, one of my longtime friends, first got into radio back in 1987. Phil had already been at it for 3 or 4 years. So, great to have Phil Nee here from RCO. And again, if you are interested in bidding on these cool items for Grace, great local organization in Southwest Wisconsin. I'm not trying to take anything away from national organizations. They do fine work as well. But if you're like me, we talked about campaign money earlier. I like to give money when I do. You know, right now, I don't have a lot to give. Let's be honest about that. But when I do give money, I like to have it go to the local, whatever it is. I want it to be used locally. And Walk with Grace is one of those kind of organizations. If you want to give money and know that the dollars are spent in the community to get people to their radiation treatments, to get them groceries or pay their rent or pay their mortgage bills, to get them through this devastating part. Because again, sadly, who among us in some way, shape, or form have not been touched by cancer, or one of our loved ones has been touched by cancer? And here's a way to actually keep your money, not just in Wisconsin, but in a local community in Wisconsin. Go to WRCO.com. Look for Walk with Grace. You can bid on these auction items, help out, and be a part of it. Really, really a great organization. And happy to have Phil Nee. I had no idea he was coming. So it was great to have him stop in and see him here. He's a man about town, that Phil Nee. Great to have you along as well. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Trevor. Todd will finally figure out after several years how to pronounce his last name. Trevor, the owner of Bradbury's here in Madison. And again, I think, you know, we'll get into this later, but I got into coffee myself for a while. Been passionate about it for years. And it's tough to explain sometimes to people who think, well, what's the difference? Coffee is coffee. Well, at the bottom of the hour, Trevor is going to walk us through it. We're going to tell you what the difference is about coffee.
And I will say, if you have some of those people in their in your life, I'm so sorry. But also, to which I'm talking about people who say coffee is coffee.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about cancer.
I figured that's why. From your reaction,
I had a blank. I'm like, what is he going? What's he? All right, got it. About coffee. It's just like coffee is coffee. Yeah.
It's not true. It just isn't.
I know it's not.
I brought some really nice beans home for my roommates who are coffee drinkers because one of them was drinking Folgers, and now he can't go back.
Right?
He doesn't even like take the time to do a pour over or a French press. He's still just putting it in the percolator, but it still makes you got to have good beans and good technique. They both make
good
a big difference.
Good water.
That is also important.
Coffee is like 98% water. So you don't be using the tap water. Buy yourself either like a water zero thing or a Brita or Culligan or bottled water, whatever. Good water is critical to good coffee. So we'll be talking to Trevor about that at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to having him on the show. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Florida. The right wing's war on freedom of thought. Who'd have thought it? Down in Puddin' Finger Land, otherwise known as Florida.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And now professors and instructors are forbidden from explaining to students how systemic racism is, quote, inherent in the institutions of the United States. Under Florida's Senate Bill 226 law,
If a teacher dares to inform their students about the laws and institutions that were designated, quote, to maintain social, political, and economic inequities, unquote, that teacher can be fired or fined or imprisoned. Republicans in Florida and in other red states are pushing laws to silence the truth and then over time erase and replace the truth. The simple truth is that African Americans have faced oppression in the United States. It's not new for those in power to suppress histories of their own nation when it doesn't fit their ideology. It happens in authoritarian states like China and Russia. Happens in illiberal democracies like Poland, Hungary, and Turkey. Happening right now with democratically elected leaders in Florida, right here in the United States of America. First, they invent a fake threat. Taps into anxieties, fears, hatreds. Then they attack. Let's look at, here's an example of what I'm talking about. Let's go to Russia. Vladimir Putin used his people's deep hatred of Nazism dating to World War II. He fabricated a threat of Nazis in Ukraine. And that became his reason for a brutal war. Completely making stuff up. Another example, Turkey. College teachers spoke out about the government's violence against its Kurdish citizens. The president, Erdogan, labeled them, quote unquote, terrorists. 10 academics were imprisoned. Example three is right here in the U.S., in Florida. The invented threat is, quote unquote, wokeness. Wokeness by academics is now a crime. If you point out a shameful historical truth, you're labeled as unpatriotic, or a pervert, or a terrorist, or woke. After stoking enough fear and anger, leaders can control speech and criminalize critical discussions of history. Citizens will actually welcome state censorship. Want some examples? Here's a couple. Russia has quote-unquote memory laws that prevent spreading knowledge of history, such as former Soviet leader Joseph Stalin's massive crimes. Look at Poland. Also has memory laws as well. 5 years ago, leaders added a gag order on admitting that many of Poland's leaders and many Polish people were complicit in the Holocaust. Turkey made a crime to acknowledge the nation's genocide on Armenians a century ago. In Turkey, more than 6,000 university instructors have been fired in the effort to silence this critical teaching of that nation's history. And now Florida's Senate Bill 266 was made intentionally vague in order to intimidate teachers from, for example, explaining how Jim Crow laws denied equal rights to African Americans. Let's not forget Hitler used America's Jim Crow laws as a model for laws to strip German Jewish citizenship of their civil rights. Those out to erase the truth of history also work hard to rewrite history to oppose their ideology. In Russia, Putin wrote a screed in which he claimed that the Ukrainian people and the Russian people are actually one and the same. It was just more false propaganda for his war on Ukraine. And the second example is in Florida. Those who talk about reckoning with America's history of oppressing blacks are accused of, quote unquote, indoctrination. Florida's Don't Say Gay law and its new whitewashing of American history taught in sixth grade social studies are examples of efforts to rewrite history. The truth? The truth is that Ron DeSantis and his ilk are waging war on freedom of thought in the United States of America. Go to the phone lines. About 5 minutes left before the bottom of the hour break. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Mark in the sack. Let's go to you, sir. What say you?
heaven forbid we actually know a little bit of the truth, what's going on in this country, as well over in the former Soviet bloc, that they're trying to reclaim a lot of it, because even in our Federalist Papers, it mentions the Commonwealth that was Poland, the Baltic states, and Ukraine were part of a Commonwealth up until about 1795, 1798, when it finally got busted up by an expansionist Russia. And it is just, just more propaganda. They were separate people. The languages may be similar, but they're different. I mean, there's a separate Ukrainian Orthodox Church and a Russian Orthodox Church. They're two separate churches. Mm. It is just, and here in this country, I mean, what benefit did Whipped Peter get from his whipping? I mean, Ron DeSantis maintain, that made him a better human being because his master, disciplined him and, made sure he was a well-behaved, slave that rather than somebody who rebelled against the master's orders. I mean, these guys need to be called up. And the fact of the matter is the fact that Wisconsin Republicans aren't standing up and condemning what is going on down in Florida with this language. Coming out to say that this is wrong. We can't have this because half the Republicans now, I think, in Wisconsin, that are in our legislature would think Wisconsin fought for the Confederacy rather than for the Union.
Well, difficult, Mark, about just saying, slavery was an atrocity and an abomination, and it's full stop. I mean, at least I saw Nikki Haley, who's running for president herself, former governor, at least she, speaking of Ron DeSantis, said, he should just come out and say, look, slavery was an atrocity, period. I mean, at least I'll give Nikki Haley credit. She could at least do that. But why can't these other Republicans just do that, Mark?
Just no courage at all. I mean, let's face it, that even reading the arguments at the Constitutional Convention, there's even slaveholders at the Constitutional Convention. They couldn't get rid of slavery, but they said, it's wrong, but we just can't afford to do it. In spite of the language from some that were condemning slavery. Mm. But it just is the fact that these guys do not have the courage. They do not have the political courage to come up and say that this is wrong. And that's it goes right to the core of their character. Right. If you can't say that slavery was wrong, then what good are you?
Yeah, it's a pretty simple question. I mean, it's even more simple, easier to answer that question than it is, hey, was the 2020 election fair? To me, they're equally as stark. But my goodness gracious, if you cannot simply say that slavery was wrong, there's nothing good about it. If you can't say that sentence, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I don't know. They had something on I was up late last night. This one had something on Stone Mountain down in Georgia there. And the whole screed that this was into the 20th century after, I guess, Birth of the Nation in 1915 kind of reactivated the Klan and reactivated the attitude of the South. And it just, that the lost cause and the noble fight for liberty that they were actually fighting is just lays aside the whole thing that in the founding of the Confederacy, they talked to, that there was a man reading through some of the documentation of what was happening at the Confederate Constitutional Convention, and slavery was at the core of the Confederacy.
Right.
That's what it was going to be on the back of the slave, like other societies in the past have. Ancient Sparta, even ancient Greece, Athens had it. They're based on slaves. They're more slaves than actual citizens.
Mark, I don't mean to cut you off, but we got to break them up here. Always appreciate listening. A great perspective, great call. Mark from the SAC, thank you so much for calling in and listening. Stay tuned now. I'm going to talk coffee on the other side of the break with this Mr. Zomers and Trevor from Bradbury's as well. This is the Todd Oliveball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News.
On Mad Radio 92.7.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life. The bills, the job, the family. Things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy today with highs around 84. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 61. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, high of 85. Upper 80s Thursday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms, turning cooler Friday with highs in the mid 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 55.
Yeah. All right, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Trevor, great to have you here. You own Bradbury's Coffee here in downtown Madison. You are a past U.S. barista, a competitor.
Yeah.
You know a lot about coffee, and yeah. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Oh, it's a pleasure. When we moved downtown, because we've been on over on Old University, on University Avenue, kind of by Hilldale.
Yeah.
And when we moved our new headquarters downtown, I said, this is fantastic because now I can walk to Bradbury and get coffee.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's been great to see you in there on a regular basis.
So how long have you owned Bradbury here in Madison?
Let's see. So I've owned it for about 6 years now.
And you've been in the industry, though, for how long?
I think it's been about 17 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to think about that. I've been involved with Bradbury's for a little bit longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been running it for about, I would say, 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first time I started working shifts was back at the end of 2010.
Wow.
So it goes back.
It goes back a ways, right?
It does.
So I actually don't know. Did you grow up around Madison, or where are you from originally?
I'm from Milwaukee.
Oh, really?
Originally.
Oh,
yeah. All right. And I've been in Madison for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what led you to get involved in coffee or think that you want to get into this industry?
Well, I mean, initially it was like cool, right? Being a barista is cool.
Sure, of course.
And I was in college in Milwaukee and it was a flexible job scheduling wise. So that's kind of how it started. And I would say I probably didn't get super interested or passionate about coffee until after I moved to Madison. And I got involved with the JBC guys. They're another local roaster in Madison for people who don't know. And I had some experiences tasting coffees there and just being around those guys and Mike Johnson, the dude who started the company, that felt like eye-opening, kind of like radicalizing experiences made me interested.
Michael's helped a lot of people, certainly helped me over the years as well. And again, JBC, a great roaster here in Madison. What was your first coffee gig? Where was the first place you were a barista?
Yeah,
in
Stone Creek.
Really? A Stone Creek?
You know Stone Creek?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I found them early on where they just had, I think, their very first shop.
Yeah.
Great guys.
Yeah, in Whitefish Bay. Yeah. Back then, they were, like, pretty different from how they are now. Mm-hmm. They were, they started in the 90s. And when I was working there, it was all pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, like, lower scoring coffee is pretty dark. So it was, like, it was a different version of coffee than they are now, or, like, the kind of coffee that we're probably into. And I think around 10 years ago, they kind of rebranded and kind of changed their approach to quality and stuff. And,
Yeah, they've changed over the years. So tell people, and for those that might not know, so I was in politics for years and years, and I got back in 92, I started going to El Salvador with a buddy of mine from college who was originally from there, and that's kind of where I first got exposed to coffee. And I just kind of like started doing research. I thought, well, someday when I get out of politics, I'm going to get into coffee. And in 2015, I did. We had a shop over on University Avenue, and unfortunately that didn't work out so well. And now I started a second one on Rimrock Road. First one was the Fifth Element, and then Finca is still there. I'm not really involved much anymore. But for those that don't know, because you've been through this as a barista and an owner and a competitor, explain to people the nuances when I say good coffee versus, you talked about dark coffee. Explain to people what that means, because you're really good at making coffee accessible.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. I try to do that. So you want me to just talk about what I think of as a good coffee?
And to put it down, as Judge Weissman once said in a court trial, put it down there where the chickens could get at it.
Yeah.
Because very nice. A little piano, a little barista music here behind me. It's very nice there. I think that when people say, well, what's the difference between, people don't understand they're truly, a lot of people are like, oh, coffee is just coffee, right? So what is the basics of good quality coffee and what's not so good coffee?
Well, I guess like the good coffee, it would start with like any sort of agricultural product, like how it's grown and how it's like harvested. So it starts there. So there's like a little more attention to it, a little more care given with good coffee. It's usually done on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like a large, like mechanized, like farm or like a factory farm kind of thing. And then I think as long as you're starting with like good raw coffee, then you take it to the roasting step. And I think you want to roast it in sort of like a way that is transparent, but also enhances like the inherent quality of the coffee. Not hating on dark roast, because I think that has its place, but I think when you have like a really high quality ingredient, if you roast it too hard, it's sort of the same idea as like cooking a really nice cut of steak well done. So it's going to have some flavor. It's going to add some flavors. But you're also going to be covering up some flavors and sacrificing some flavors. So then, yeah, so you've got good raw ingredient. You roast it well. And then it comes down to like brewing it well. And so I guess if you nail all those things, good coffee to me is like coffee where you can, to borrow a word from the wine world, you can like taste the terroir in the coffee. You can taste where it was grown. You can taste maybe the varieties, the botanical varieties present. You can taste how it was processed, like how it was fermented. And yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for in coffee. That's what I'm thinking of when I say good coffee.
That's a great explanation. A lot of people don't realize, like wine, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it Salmonet? Or I don't always get Sal. What's the wine, guy? The
Sommelier?
Person? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sommelier, yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Totally.
Young brain versus old brain. if you're a sommelier in wine, there's like 160-some flavors or profiles in wine. It's the exact same thing in coffee.
Totally. And there is, it gets less coverage because it's coffee, but there is like a similar... there are similar certifications in the coffee world for palate calibration and like tasting and stuff like that as there are to like the Somm certification. So you've got
a Q grade cupper. You're someone who just has a wonderful palate.
So it was coffee. I
walked down a couple of blocks here to your shop. Again, Bradbury's Coffee here in Madison. For those listening on WMDX here in Madison, this beautiful coffee by Phil and Sebastian Coffee Roasters. Where are they out of?
They're out of Calgary, Alberta.
Awesome Canadian coffee.
Yeah. They're like up there where all those fires were. Earlier in the summer.
All that coffee roasting. That's all the smoke is. But this is a Danji for Ethiopia. If look out here, it says notes of peach, jasmine, and black tea. So if you're a Q-grade cupper or a true coffee professional like you, if you're sipping the coffee, you can actually find those notes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's some subjectivity to what you're going to taste. But I think the important thing is, like, if, you know, you have, like, a nice coffee, you're going to be able to pick out some flavors, right? As opposed to just, like... This has like a heavy, roasty, kind of almost carbony flavor to it.
I think that's a good way to put it. But I'd just say burnt.
Burnt, yeah. I think I was trying to avoid that word diplomatic.
No, I always say, look, I mean, yes, I agree. There are some places for some people just like a really dark roast, I guess.
Yeah.
But too often I found that, particularly at the really corporate level, what they do is buy low grade quality coffee.
Sure.
And so to cover up those bad flavors, just like good coffee has good flavors, bad coffee has bad, they over roast it, they burn it, so you don't taste the bad flavors.
Yeah.
All you taste is that bitterness.
Yeah,
and that's why so many people will say, oh, I like coffee, but I got to put milk and cream in it or whatever. And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
But I always encourage people, you know, just try it the way the farmer and the roaster intended.
Yeah. No, I think you hit on something that's like kind of important there, is that lower quality coffee, lower grade coffee, coffee that like is scoring lower and then is selling for cheaper prices. I think that does kind of go hand in hand with like dark roasting, because it sort of has to. If you were to apply like this sort of roast profile that's on this Ethiopian coffee that you have here, which is like pretty light, pretty clear. It's going to let you taste all of those sort of origin flavors in the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to taste a lot of roast. If you were to apply that sort of roast profile to like some of these lower grade commodity grade coffees,
you wouldn't want to drink it.
You wouldn't want to drink it.
No.
Yeah.
It's just crap. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Now here's the part of the show that was going to be spectacular. We're going to open, because coffee geeks, which I'll say at least I am. Are you okay with being called a coffee geek?
Yeah, you can call me that. Yeah.
We love to open up a new bag of coffee. And then when you open it up, I'll let you do the honors. You smell that first, first smell. And it's just like, oh my heavens.
I like to give it a little shake.
See, look at that. There's a coffee professional.
You know, since we don't have the brewing happening today.
Yeah. Oh, see it? Oh, see there. There you go. The crack right there. I'm going to see if I can hold it up to the... for those streaming on the... I'm going to try to hold this up to the camera here. That's not too bad. So if you're streaming on Facebook or Twitter, what have you, you don't see... It's not black and shiny. It's kind of this matte brown color on the bean. Let's try that again. And that's what we're looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
It usually, correct me if I'm wrong, 9 times out of 10, if there's a shine on the bean, it's probably over-roasted. Probably.
I think that's true. Also, once you have those oils at the surface, they're going to oxidize and start tasting kind of funky.
That's just lovely. I mean, honestly, I mean, people probably look at it thinking, those guys are eating quote unquote raw coffee. Well, it's not raw, it's been roasted.
Yeah.
It's just not brewed.
Yeah. You can kind of get an idea of what it would taste like brewed, though, just by chewing on it.
My filter is here so we can actually taste it.
Dang. I should have brought some backup filters just in case.
Well, you know, I went through my checklist and somehow my filters didn't get in the bag. But
that's the way it goes.
Yeah, such is life. But yeah, so the point is, like, we're talking to Trevor Green, owner of Bradberry's here in Madison, Wisconsin, and a past participant in the U.S. Barista Championships. The point is that you have to, like all good agriculture, people that go to the Dane County Farmers Market or the Eau Claire Farmers Market, or I know there's the Third Ward, there's farmers down in Milwaukee. If you're going to go to a local farmer's market, you want to deal with a local producer that really cares about the earth and what goes into it. Same way in coffee. It all starts at the farm. And then you can have a roaster that knows what the heck they're doing to get the best flavor profile. And, you know, a friend of mine from El Salvador, Federico, likes to say, once it gets to us, we just try not to mess it up.
Yeah, totally.
There's a lot to that, right?
Totally.
Because to me, when I was in coffee, there was kind of a lot of, when I was working with coffee of that quality, I felt a certain, not bad, but a certain pressure to make sure I was presenting it the way that the farmer or the roaster did it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something to that. The idea that it starts at the farm and then every step after that, you're just trying to like minimize degrading the coffee.
Right? Yeah.
You're trying to preserve it.
And how important is water? Because people don't understand this.
Oh, it's insanely important. It's like the number one underestimated like factor in like making good coffee. Like, well, when I'm talking to like people who are buying bags, like non-professionals, it's like most professionals know, but a lot of times I get questions at the cafe from people who are brewing at home or like, why can't I? Like, I bought the same coffee that you served me last week and it tastes nothing like that. For brewed coffee, it's 98 for the coffee we're brewing at Bradberry's, it's 98.5, 98.6% of the coffee.
Yeah.
Cause I'm actually measuring, you know, with a refractometer, our coffee strength.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of that, you know, the things that are not dissolved coffee solids in the coffee, that's water.
So if you do it at home, don't use the tap water, no matter how good your tap water might be. Either use
not like around here.
Either a zero water or a Brita or bottled. Or I mean, do something where it's going to be, you know, it doesn't have the fluorides and the minerals and all that stuff in it.
I grew up in Milwaukee, and we get pretty good tap water. It's sourced from Lake Michigan. And in terms of like mineral content, it's like in a pretty good sweet spot, but even with that, you would want to pass it through like a Brita filter to get rid of like the fluoride and the chlorine kind of flavor.
Makes a huge difference.
But in Madison and other parts of the state, the water is so full of minerals that you kind of need to. What we do at the cafe is we try to strip everything out, add controlled amounts of minerals back in, and
there is a recipe for water. People don't understand
definitely
that. Back with more on the other side with Trevor Green from Bradberry's after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress? But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court document. documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. High of 84 today under partly cloudy skies. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 65 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High of 85. Partly cloudy Thursday with daytime highs approaching 88. 84, chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 58 degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, 10 minutes before our friend and colleague Matt Flynn takes over. Matt Flynn direct from 3 until 4. At 4 o'clock, it is the Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics. Crudy and Dom with the Devil's Advocates. At 6 o'clock, then, the Maggie Dawn Show. And at 8 o'clock, Rick Smith Across America. And at 10 o'clock, tape delayed, our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio, the perspective of Native Americans here on Civic Media. Right now, it is Trevor Green. He is the proprietor, the owner of Bradberry's here in Madison. Go to bradberryscoffee.com. You can learn more. Bradberry's, B-R-A-D-B-U-R-Y-S, bradberryscoffee.com. Always a great time. If you haven't been there before, if you live within an hour of Madison, you know you're going to get to Madison. Let's just be honest here. If you live within an hour of Madison, you're going to get here. Just go downtown. It's a beautiful walk. Two blocks off the Capitol Square down North Hamilton and stop in and see Trevor and his crew. Crepes as well. Some of the best savory and sweet crepes in the world.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, and tea. So I want to talk a little bit, Trevor, about your competition. And for those people who aren't familiar with the both national and world competitions, I equate it, you can tell me how you do, but I explained it, if you've ever seen Iron Chef America on the Food Network, it's kind of like that, only with coffee, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty accurate. I also think of it as like something akin to like maybe James Beard or something like that, but in the coffee world. Because there isn't a thing like that, or like a Michelin thing for the coffee world. So I would say it's like all those things rolled into one.
Maybe. So those aren't familiar. I know the rules have changed the last 2 or 3 years, but it used to be out of 4 judges. You had 15 minutes and you had to create an espresso, espressos, 4 milk-based drinks and 4 specialty drinks in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And talk about the coffee and the presentation, and you're judged on the entire thing, correct?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. So there's 7 judges total. There's 4 that are your like sensory judges. Mm-hmm. So they're the people you're serving. They're at a table, and they're evaluating how everything tastes. Then there's 2 technical judges. Mm-hmm. Those guys float around you while you're making the coffee at the machine. And so those people are looking at your consistency. They're judging you based on how much coffee you're spilling or like how much milk you're wasting, things like that. There's 1 head judge who's kind of coordinating everybody. Mm-hmm. So you have like 15 minutes to kind of give this like mini TED Talk type thing.
That's
a good
way to put it.
Yeah, you're serving 12. You have to serve 12 beverages in that time. And so you're judged on things like flavor, like the sensory aspect. You're judged on the concept that you're presenting, because you usually have to put together some sort of like talk that like connects to the coffee that you're serving and some like concept that's larger than that. And then you're judged on your technique too. And then there's some overall scores about like how you're managing like the station and the presentation and the service as like a whole.
Mm-hmm. And is it still divided up into regions in the U.S.?
I think what they do now is they have optional qualifying events, which is like the first step. And then after that, I'm going to correct myself. It's the preliminary events.
That's the first tier.
Those are optional. But then you have to go to one of two qualifying events. Mm-hmm. And then based on your performance at the qualifying event, you can qualify for the national event.
And you've done very well.
Yeah, yeah. I was getting like pretty good when I like took over like owning the cafe.
Yeah.
And then that kind of sucked up all my time. But yeah,
because you got to the nationals.
Yeah, the last couple times I did it, I was a semifinalist at the nationals. Yeah. So I finished 13th and
in the country, United.
11th.
In the United States, 13th and 11th in the country, folks, out of 50 states.
Yeah, yeah. And so at those qualifying events that feed into the national competitions, they cap each of those at 50 competitors, and they tend to fill up in the first like hour or two. So, yeah.
He's being a little modest, I believe, because I mean, it's a great honor just to participate, and even greater honor to get to the level that you did and to be, you know, literally in the top 15 baristas in the country.
Yeah.
That's pretty dang spectacular.
It took a lot of work, and it took a lot of experience.
Tell people how much work that takes.
It was my life. I mean, that's why
it sucks up everything.
That's why I stopped doing it when I started owning a cafe. It's just.
Did you ever have a coach, or did you just do it yourself?
I did. I did have a coach. I had like a team, I would say.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Not in the respect that like some competitors have like formal coaches that they like hire and they're like. Pedigreed like coffee professionals like that. But I had like kind of a crew of people that like knew me and knew what I was trying to do and kind of got it and had been exposed to competition enough and would let me talk at them about the rules and calibrate them to help me get better.
Yeah.
It's
spectacular. There's a one national champion and that person that goes on and represents the US. There's about 60 countries every year.
Yeah.
That do the World Barista Championship, and that's one of the people that we both know, but I got involved in El Salvador and Alejandro Mendez. Well, the cool story about him is he grew up as just a poor kid, was flipping hamburgers at Wendy's, and within 4 years, he was the first person from a coffee-producing country that became the World Barista Champion out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's just a chill, cool guy, and he's still slinging coffee, you know, behind the bars down in El Salvador, and his business partner, Danny Mendez from Four Monkeys, another great guy who was a national champion of El Salvador as well. And none of they didn't come from money. You don't come from money. I mean, just it's normal people who put in this tremendous amount of work that have a passion for coffee.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it becomes your life if you want to get good at it. There is sort of like a competition season where things peak and get really intense. But I think there was a number of years where my brain was just in it all the time. And I was always kind of like thinking forward or thinking about competition or
stuff like
that.
But a minute left, Trevor, for people at home who want to do coffee right or correctly. I mean, I've got a grinder here that's $200. I mean, you could spend a lot of money on it if you want to or can.
Sure.
But just for the common person, what's your one or two things in a minute that you would say if you want to start getting the coffee the right way, what would you do?
Buy good coffee. That's the huge one. Buy good coffee. Use good water. Like it's just like any other like culinary pursuit. You got to use good ingredients, and those are the two main ingredients.
Yeah.
So I'd say like you can get a long way with those two things. You don't necessarily need like fancy equipment to make good coffee.
And if you can, leave it whole bean, because once the coffee is ground, it starts to deteriorate a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. If you can get a grinder, even if it's a cheaper grinder.
I told you, even to start with, even if you go to Target and get a $15, you know, one single blade grinder.
Yeah, yeah.
That's better than, you know, buying a bag of Starbucks pre-ground.
Sure. And I think if you've never done that, starting with grinding at home is just going to open your eyes and maybe like start you down the rabbit hole.
Right? It's magical.
Yeah. I mean,
once you get sucked in, folks, you can't go back.
Yeah, it's true.
And you have a guy like this, Trevor Green, from Bradbury's in Madison. It makes it even better. Stop on down to Bradbury's downtown Madison if you're here in town or when you're in town visiting. Trevor, a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
My pleasure. Next time we'll actually have my filters. We'll make coffee.
Okay, sounds good.
Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn Direct is next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow. Mr. Sommers, appreciate you as well. Trevor Green, we'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for